Enjoyed that very much. Thank you, young people. Go to Proverbs chapter 6 this morning. Proverbs chapter 6. And open your Bible there. We're going to stand in just a moment and give you a minute to find it. We're going to read three verses together and bring a message this morning along the lines of this special day. Thank you, young people, for singing this morning a song about moms. I can speak from the perspective of a parent, the greatest pay back, if you will. The greatest thank you is if you would just live your life for the Lord. Amen. And mom will certainly appreciate it and be blessed by it. Let's stand together, please. Proverbs chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 20, where the Scripture says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." I want to draw the title of the message out of verse number 20 this morning, where Solomon told his son, "Forsake not the law of thy mother." And I want to talk about the law of thy mother this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for this special occasion. Happy for the opportunity to celebrate motherhood and to be mindful, a little bit more so, of our own mothers. And we rejoice with these ladies in the church who've been privileged to be moms. And Lord, thank you for each one here this morning. I pray now that you'll open our hearts to your word. God, speak to us. We thank you for the privilege of having your word with us. But Lord, we don't come just to hear it. We come so that we can learn. And Lord, take it home and practice it. So help me this morning. Fill us with your power. Speak to every person here, I pray, in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. And be seated. Keep your Bible open here. We're going to look at these three verses. There is not a hard and fast rule that says a pastor, you know, has to preach a message about mothers on Mother's Day, but the occasion is certainly one that, you know, allows for a message on that subject if the Lord leads. And so I always approach a special day like this, asking God if there's anything He wants me to speak particularly about the special day. And so this year, God did put something on my heart. Sometimes I just preach a regular message. But I want to talk to you about the law of thy mother. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. We have been going through it on Wednesday evenings, Bible study here, and it was written especially for the young people. Over and over again, you're going to read the words, my son, my son, my son, my son. So it was written for the youth, for the purpose of giving them wisdom, for the purpose of giving them knowledge, for the purpose of giving them understanding, for the purpose of giving them judgment or discernment. Young people and old people alike who live by the principles of wisdom found in the book of Proverbs will live wisely. And folks, God blesses that kind of living. The contrast all throughout the book is between the wise man and the foolish man, the wise man and the foolish man, the wise and the foolish. So, in these verses, we find some instruction about a young person's responsibility to their dad and their mom. And let me say, there are some good dads and moms who are unsaved. I know I wish everybody in the room, I'm sure if you're here this morning, if your dad is lost, if your mom is Mother's Day, if your mom is lost, there's a sadness in your heart to think about mom being unsaved. But I do want to say this morning that there are some good dads and some good moms who are unsaved. As far as filling the role of dad and mom, they did a good job. They were involved and they were dedicated parents who invested much into the lives of their children. I understand that. I also understand that there might be some in the room this morning whose moms failed for whatever reason. And I don't have time to go into all that this morning, but my heart hurts for you this morning if that's your situation. Some of you, your mom walked out on you. That's a very tough pill to swallow. Very tough pill to swallow. For some of you, mom didn't walk out on you, but she was lost, and truth of the matter is, maybe she wasn't involved in your life. She didn't invest a whole lot in you. It was more about her than it was about you. I want to say to you this morning, anybody in that type of situation, that you do not want to be a victim of those circumstances. You want to go on to be an overcomer. An overcomer. One of the men who preaches here often in the pulpit down through the years, Brother Brian Sharp, his mother was a professional gambler. As far as being a Christian, she wasn't one. As far as investing godly biblical principles into his life, it didn't happen. She was a professional gambler. But he's an evangelist today and has a wonderful ministry over in the nation of Israel. You do not have to be a victim of your circumstances. The Spirit of God can help you be an overcomer. And I also want to say this morning that I realize, and I think about this every Mother's Day. I don't always say something about it. But I understand that there are some ladies in the church who God has never allowed you to birth a child for whatever reason. And I know that there's a little bit of a hurt that goes in your heart, goes along with that. You carry that in your heart. You see other ladies stand. You see other ladies having, you know, children, 5, 6, 7, 8 more. Or just the person that has one. And you feel like that was taken from you for some reason or the other. And I want you to know, I think about you. And I'm sorry for you. But I do also know that you do not have to be a victim of that circumstance either. You can be an overcomer. You know, when God saves us, friend, puts the Holy Spirit of God within us to live in our bodies, full-time, permanently, forever. God, that work, that Spirit of God is called the Comforter. And He can bring comfort to your heart. And when your heart hurts because your mom walked out on you, when your heart hurt because your mom hurts because your mom didn't invest in you, when your heart hurts because the privilege of being a mother was never yours, that's when you need to look to the Holy Spirit of God. Don't get bitter. Don't look within and find feelings of ugliness and bitterness and fertilize those feelings. You look to the Spirit of God and ask Him to do a work of comfort in your heart, and He will do just that. You could be an overcomer. Now, some of you have had a good dad and a good mom who they're saved and they're dedicated, not only to you, but they're dedicated to the Lord as well. And if you grew up in that kind of home, or if you are now living in that kind of home, you are experiencing an extra special blessing. And I hope that you're thankful for it. I hope that you're grateful for the home that God either grew you in, if you're an adult, or you're growing up in, if you're a child here, in those circumstances right now. The wise man addresses his son in verse number 20. You see the first two words of the verse, "my son." And then he just basically says, "Keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother." Here is a young man who had involved parents who were attempting to train their child in the way of the Lord, and together they are working to keep their children on the right path. Now, you know what that means? That means that there are some commandments and there are some laws. There are some do's and there are some don'ts. There are some thou shalt's and there are some thou shalt not's. And let me just say a word to dad and moms today along the lines of rules and boundaries and thou shalt's and thou shalt not's. Proverbs 29:15 says, "A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Don't leave your children to themselves. Allowing them to do as they please and never giving them any kind of guidelines or rules or boundaries, etc., will not help them. They will follow the dictates of their sin nature and they will live in the bondage of foolish choices. God gives children to parents because those kids need commandments. Those kids need rules. Those kids need boundaries. Those kids need some teaching. They need some thou shalt nots. Don't fall into this modern way of thinking that says, well, your children need to express themselves and they need to be free to do as they want to. That is unbiblical thinking. The biblical pattern is mom and dad train their children to walk in the ways of the Lord. And that walking in the ways of the Lord involves some commandments, it involves some laws, it involves some rules, it involves some boundaries. I see some people sitting out here that I missed welcoming back to our church services. Brianna and Adam are here and Caitlin's here. I'm sorry, I miss you guys. I wish you'd throw a book at me or something when I'm going through that because now. But anyway, I'm glad y'all are here. Amen. And I'm glad Cherry's here. I'm always glad. Yeah, always got that. Always. All right. And she's here by herself today, which makes it all the better. Amen. But anyway. Hey, on a serious note, our country is in a mess right now. We have high school and college age kids disrupting speeches by seasoned men and women on campuses, demonstrating and acting the fool on school campuses. So much so that they got to cancel the speech. But it's very odd to me that the speaker is always a conservative. That's kind of odd, isn't it? Yeah, are there no liberals speaking? Are there no liberals giving speeches? I think the liberals are giving speeches. If the conservative kids got too much character, or maybe they got a job. Maybe they got to go somewhere to work. I don't get this, folks. It's crazy. They're playing the fool. They're spoiled kids. Probably never had a dad or a mom to lay down the law. I like that terminology. Some of you are scared of that. You're scared of laying down the law. You're scared of your children. You're scared of your teenagers. You're scared how they'll respond. It's got to be done the right way. It's got to be done with the right spirit and the right attitude. But I want you to see here that this kid growing up in this home, he had some commandments and he had some laws. Kids need to grow up with some discipline. Down in Mexico, I was standing in line waiting at a place to get something. And it was a line of about, 10 people while I was waiting there. And one of the mothers had their little bitty child. I know that she couldn't have been more than 18 months, maybe 20 months old. And she was making life miserable for everybody in the place. She was on the floor. She was rolling. And there were no tears coming. There was no pain. There was no hurt. There were no tears. It was just a fit. And she was making life miserable for everybody in there. And she finally rolled over and sat up. And I was standing two people behind her mother. And she looked up at me and I... and she went... Made me wonder if anybody ever frowned at her. That's her problem. Nobody ever frowned at her. Nobody, I wanted to do, but I wanted to go, hey! I didn't know how to say that in Spanish. So I just might say the wrong thing. So. But kids need rules. And this young man growing up in this home is like many of you young people growing up in homes in this church, maybe like the home you grew up in if you're an adult, where they teach right from wrong and they have rules and boundaries and they expect the kids to live by them and they enforce the rules and they punish the children when the rules are broken. And these parents were doing that. And so the son is told to keep thy father's commandment, forget not, forsake not the law of thy mother. Then in verse 21, he goes on and says, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Keep them close to you. You know, I'm 60 years of age now. I've been out of the house since I was 18, since September of 1976. I've been home to visit, but I haven't lived at home since then. But I can still hear the voice of my mother say, you be a good boy. I didn't always obey her. I can still hear the voice of my mother. You behave yourself today. Don't you get yourself into any trouble today. Don't you do that. If you had a mom that was involved, you could hear those things echoing in your mind this morning. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. And then, in verse number 22, which is where I'm going to spend my time this morning, we are given the results of a young person who does not forsake the law of their mother. What are the results of keeping the law of thy mother? Well, first of all, the law of thy mother will keep you as you go. Look at verse 22. When thou goest it, what's he talking about? He's talking about the father's commandment and the law of the mother. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. It will lead you as you go. See, folks, teaching and commanding and instructing is preventive. It's preventive medicine. It's preventive maintenance, okay? You'll have to do a lot less physical punishment with your children if you'll spend the proper amount of time instructing them and teaching them. It will lead them as they go. It will keep a kid out of a whole lot of trouble. Now, the unfortunate thing is that norm now is a kid gets in trouble. Let's say he gets in trouble at school and he comes home and maybe the mom or dad gets a phone call from the principal's office. And they got to go to the school, and the kid gets in trouble, and the parents, you know, they raise their voice, and they start hollering at the kid, why'd you do that? What's the matter with you? What made you act that way? What in the world's wrong with you? In some cases, what's wrong is dad and mom never laid down the law. Dad and mom never laid down the law. Never gave any instruction, never put any rules, never put any boundaries, never put any parameters in place. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, boy, he said, you keep your father's commandment and you don't forsake the law of your mother. Your mom told you not to do these things. Your mom told you to stay out of those situations. Your mom told you to be a good boy. And if you'll keep those things with you, it will lead you as you go. Teaching and instruction will lead the child in the way of righteousness. Keep them out of trouble. Some of you adults can still remember your mother's instruction. You can remember your mother warning you about misbehaving. And the truth of the matter is, even though you may subconsciously have done it, it kept you out of a lot of trouble. The law of thy mother. The law of thy mother for you. And I realize when I preached this morning, we've got adult ladies sitting here whose mothers are still living, and your minds are going back now to when, or maybe men too, going back to when you were little and your mom's instruction and your mom's laws and your mom's teaching. And then we have young people right now who are the teenage years in life, and you begin to struggle sometimes with mom's laws and dad's commandments. If you'll pay attention to them, they will lead you as you go. That's not Pastor Angel's words. That's what God said. Then we've got young mothers in here with little children back there in the church nursery who are just a few months old or maybe a year, a couple of years old, and you're just now starting into this thing called motherhood, and you find out that really it's a whole lot more work than you thought it would be. You gave birth and everybody was, yay, and here comes the gifts and everything. You take that child home. What am I going to do with him? Teach. Instruct. Be an involved mom. Don't leave your child to himself or herself. Teach and instruct the law. Your law will go with your child. Hopefully it will lead them as they go. Those of you young moms who have kids under your constant care right now, give them your wisdom and teach them and be involved. It will lead them as they go. I've used this illustration a couple, three times, so if you've heard it, I apologize. But there always are people in and coming in that haven't heard stories. And it's about my good friend, Brother Fugit, who preaches here about every year at the Revival Fires meeting. And he grew up in a pastor's home. His dad was a pastor down in Hazard, Kentucky, way back in the hollers of the mountains of Kentucky. South, that would be southeastern Kentucky, going like you're going into Tennessee. Some of you probably are familiar with that area. Now, folks, we're talking about remote, okay? We're talking about, you know, I mean, just remote where they pipe the sunshine in and the moonshine out. All right? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Listen, his daddy was a pastor, and they had a special thing for the kids, or the people in the church, about bringing visitors. And by the way, they had a church running 500. His daddy did, Sam Fugit, in the hollers of Kentucky. And they had a special thing where they gave away some things. They said, the people that win the contest are going to jump on a bus and go to McDonald's. It was 72 miles to the nearest McDonald's. Now, I call that remote. How would you like to drive 72 miles for a Big Mac? I ain't doing that, buddy. I can tell you that. I don't. I'm passing by now as far as good night. They got to the McDonald's, this one teenage boy. He's ordered his food, and the lady says, "Where are y'all from?" He said, "Kentucky." He thought they'd left the state. They traveled so far. But Brother Fugit's dad trained him and taught him. Brother Fugit left those mountains to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to go to Tennessee Temple back when it was a good school, Brother Tom. You were there. Not when Jeff was there, but you were there. You were there when Noah was there. Amen. But anyway. So Brother Fugit, he'd never been away from home. He moves and he's working in the carpet mills in North Georgia, and then driving back into Chattanooga 12:30 at night, after working second shift, to go to the dorm rooms, because downtown, the Tennessee Temple, the dorms were in downtown Chattanooga, downtown. Now, Chattanooga's not probably the nightlife that Chicago has, but it's a major city, and they got bars, they got taverns. Brother Fugit would drive down those streets, see those places, didn't have those in the mountains of Kentucky. People pouring in, pouring out. What's going on in there? I wonder what's going on. One night, on his way home from work, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, he stopped his car across the street from one of those taverns. turned the ignition off, pulled the key out, put his hand on the door handle. He was going to go in just one time, just walk in and see what was going on. When he touched his hand to the door handle of that vehicle, not in an audible voice, but like everybody here has experienced to some degree or another, there was just an impression, an inner voice that he heard with the inner ears of his soul. And it was his dad's voice who was very sick at the time, dying of cancer. And he heard his dad saying, not audibly, but in his heart, he heard his dad saying, "Son, if what goes on in there is so wonderful, why is it always dark?" He let go of the door handle, put his key in the ignition, started it up, and drove away. To this day, he's never stepped foot inside a tavern. Don't forget the commandment of your father. Don't forsake the law of thy mother. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. It'll lead you when you're going. Don't forget, that's one of the benefits. The law of thy mother will lead you as you go. Folks, hey, listen, those of us that had teaching moms and paid attention, I wish I could say that's me. But those of you who had teaching moms and godly moms who instructed you and taught you, Jeff, I think so often about your mom. Joanne Reardon, what a quiet woman. Came and went here all these years. Came and went from the school and other places. And Don, her husband, wasn't saved for years. 6 kids. And boy, the instruction of Joanne Reardon over the years. Just the quiet example. And the quiet instruction. And if you had a mom like that, you have no idea how much that law, the law of your mother, has kept you out of trouble even to this day. It'll lead you when you go. You young people that have teaching moms right now, do not forsake the law of your mother. Number two, the Bible tells us in verse number 22, it shall, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. So not only will it lead you as you go, number two, it will keep you as you sleep. That's what it says. It says, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. You say, I don't understand what he's talking about here. Here's what I'm taking a stab at this morning, friend, what I believe after thinking about this. You know what? Nothing helps you have a good night's peaceful sleep like a clear conscience. A clear conscience. Riotous living results in a restless night. People who live in sin and rebellion may brag about their exploits during the daytime. When they're around their friends, they may talk real big about all that they've done and the fun that they've had. And man, it's wonderful and all the enjoyment. But what they won't tell you is how they laid in bed, in the quiet, in the dark, with a guilty conscience. And the law of their mother running through their thought processes. And living with the guilt of having violated everything mom taught them. There might be young people, young men, college age, high school, young ladies who are right now violating the law of your mother. And you say, well, Brother Angel, Pastor, that hasn't happened to me. I sleep like a baby. You keep at it, pal. You'll find out it won't always be that way. I speak from personal experience and I'm ashamed of it. And I know the torment of soul as an 18-year-old, as a 17-year-old, trying to fall asleep at night when I realized I had violated the law of my mother and the commandments of my dad and laying in that bed with a guilty conscience. There is no rest, no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No. You live by the law of your mother. She taught you in the ways of the Word of God. She laid down the law when it came to thou shalt and thou shalt not, and this is what you ought to do and this is what you ought not to do. It will keep you as you sleep. Those men, those young men, those young women who violated the laws of their mother, they keep trying to erase their mother's words. They try to erase their mother's warnings. In some cases, they try to erase their mother's weeping. And they relive the moments of their revelry in an attempt to override the memory of what their moms taught them. But what their moms taught them just keeps hammering, hammering, hammering. There's no rest. There's no peace. There's none. On the other hand, here is a young person who listens to the law of his mother and does right and lives clean and has pure behavior. They don't toss and turn with the question running through their mind, am I going to get caught? Is my mom going to find out? Are they going to hear? Is somebody going to say something? There's not that restlessness of a guilty conscience. They sleep peacefully with a sweet peace in their heart because the law of your mother will keep you as you sleep. Sweet peace. Sweet peace. Oh, I'm not saying that because of humanity and physical problems and conditions, you might have a restless night. Folks, there's a whole lot of difference in being kept awake by acid reflux and being kept awake because of a guilty conscience. They don't make a pill that corrects that. You want to sleep well at night? Forsake not the law of thy mother. Mom wasn't perfect. Neither are you. No one is. That's the dumbest statement in the world, isn't it? Like, because we're human, that justifies our wicked behavior. It's crazy. Don't forsake the law of your mother. It will lead you as you go. It will keep you as you sleep. The best night's sleep you'll ever experience. Young person, especially when you get into those young college years where you're starting to leave the home and become an adult on your own, the best night's sleep you'll ever have is being away from your mom and dad. And even though you're away from them physically, you are not away from the way they brought you up. You are living by the law of your mother. And when you put your head on your pillow at night, sweet dreams. Peaceful rest. It will lead you as you go. It will keep you as you sleep. Number three, it says in verse number 22, and the end of the verse, when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. So it will keep you. It will lead you as you go. It will keep you as you sleep. It will talk with you when you awake. What does that mean? After that peaceful night's sleep, when you awake, there will be no remorse. There will be no regret. There will be no panic. There will be no worries over the wrong that was done. There will be no hangover to constantly remind you of how foolish your behavior was. No. Instead of that, there will be this sweet reminder that yesterday was a good day. Yesterday was a blessed day. Last night was uneventful as far as sin goes. I did what I was supposed to do. I was where I was supposed to be. I said what I was supposed to say. No guilty conscience yammering at you. No shameful memory haunting you. You were a good child. You did behave yourself. You stayed out of trouble. And you know what? God's going to confirm that behavior over and over and over again in your heart. You did good. You obeyed. No, you won't get a plaque or a trophy, but you won't need a plaque or a trophy because you'll have the inner peace, the inner joy, the inner blessedness of knowing that, you know, the previous day, you spent in the will of God, not forsaking the law of your mother. And by the way, a new 24-hour time period is starting, and I want to repeat the same thing today that I did yesterday. It will talk to you. It will speak to you when you wake up. Now, the Bible goes on to say, I don't have time to get into it this morning, but the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about people who forsake the law of their mother and pay no attention to it whatsoever. And by the way, all these verses categorize folks who live that way as being foolish. Proverbs 15:20, a foolish man despiseth his mother. Proverbs 19:26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Don't you waste your daddy. Don't you chase away your mother. Chapter 20, verse 20, whoso causeth his father or his, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. I won't even take the time to preach on those things this morning, folks. Just suffice it to say, if you're brought up with a dad who commands you and a mom who gives you some instructions and some laws, and you forsake that and you curse that, you are described as a foolish person. I don't care what your peers are saying about you. I don't care what they're saying about you at work. God has categorized you as a fool. A fool. And I want to say, what a blessing to have a mother who teaches and instructs. Look at me. A mother who lays down the law. Did your mom ever lay down the law, Chandler? Does she? Did your mom ever lay down the law? Mom ever lay down the law? Cherith? Okay. All you Smith girls sitting out there this morning. Mom ever lay down the law? Mm-hmm. You regret that today? Don't forsake the law of your mother. Brother Jake, you're married now. You got a kid, one on the way. But you had an involved mom. I'm an old man. Yeah, that's great. And you are making your own way in life, your own wife and family. But don't leave the law of mom. The law of mom will keep you out of trouble. I remember some years ago, this is many years ago now, heard S.M. Davis tell this story down in Lincoln, Illinois, back when he was pastoring Park Meadows there. Actually, I think it was still, might have even been State Street at the time, before they changed the name. He told about a young girl there, and there didn't. I think she either came on the bus or maybe she came to a youth activity. She went to the Lincoln High School, and she was getting ready to go to school. She came down from upstairs, and what she was wearing, her mother didn't agree with, and she said, "You're not going to wear that to school. You go change." And she stomped up the steps and slammed the door. Her mom could hear her up there fussing around, changed her clothes, came back down. Mom had put some breakfast on the table. She just grabbed her bags and she said, "I'm not eating." Mom said, "Sit down and eat." "I'm not eating." I don't know if mom said, "I love you" or whatever, but the girl stormed to the door and she opened the door, flung it open. And as she was walking down the steps, she turned around. She said, "I hate you. I just wish you'd die." Went off to school. Sitting in a class, third or fourth period at the high school, knock came on the schoolroom door. It was the principal. He said, "I need to see so-and-so," called that girl's name. Brought her down to the office and told her that on her way, that her mother had left for work, had been hit head on a car accident, had died. They said that you could hear that girl screaming throughout the whole school. She's screaming the top of her lungs. Last thing she said to her mother, "I hate you. I just wish you'd die." Now, you know what, young person? That's a pretty extreme illustration. And I understand that. And you probably don't ever think of saying that. And you wouldn't say that. But I'm going to tell you something. You listen very carefully. Leaving your family and forsaking the law of your mother will hurt her as deeply as that girl hurt when she heard about her mother's death. Don't forsake the law of your mother. You got a good mom. You had a good mom. Is she still living? Call her up today and thank her for being involved in your life. Tell her, "Mom, I can still hear you say, be a good girl. Be a good boy. My wife came down this morning. I said, Happy Mother's Day to her. She said, to you too. I said, I'm not a mother. She said, today is my mom's birthday. Hard to believe that she will be gone 10 years this fall. She was a good mom. Every once in a while, her birthday falls on Mother's Day. If my wife could do anything today, she'd probably love to call her mom up and say thanks. Thanks for your involvement. Thanks for your teaching. If yours is still living, don't forsake her law. Don't forsake her law. It's a special relationship between a mom and her children. She's a godly teaching mom. You stick with the law of your mother. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to have Mother's Day, to be mindful of our moms and the influence that they had in our lives. I pray that you'll please help us, Lord, those of us that had teaching moms, instructing moms, godly moms, moms that cared for us and loved us, to, along with providing for physical things, also taught us spiritual things. Help us not to forsake the law of our mother. I pray for the young people in this room this morning. God, help them not to forsake the law of their mother. Help them to stick with the old teaching, the old way. Help them to be a good boy. Help them not to get into trouble. Thank you that the laws of our mother lead us as we go and keep us as we sleep and talk to us when we awake. Help us to walk in that law. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Now, let me ask you, just give me your attention for a few minutes with heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask you, let me say to you today, if you didn't have that kind of mom, please don't be bitter. And just determine to be that kind of mom if you have children. If you didn't have that kind of mom, the devil's kind of used that in your life to make you bitter. Why don't you lay that on the altar this morning, walk away from it? You know, if God withheld a child from you, and you're bitter, I don't mean you're sad, but you're bitter. It's a difference. If you're bitter about it, ask the Holy Spirit to comfort you this morning. I wonder who's here today and say, Pastor, you know, there was a law that my mom taught me or is teaching me. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart today about not forsaking that law. Pray that the Spirit of God will work in my heart about this. God spoke to me during the message this morning. Would you slip your hand up wherever you're sitting across the room there? God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Wonderful. Young moms, those of you older moms with children still under your care, you just keep teaching. Keep instructing. Don't be afraid of the rules. Don't be afraid to make rules. Don't be afraid to enforce rules. It'd be good for your children. Now, let me ask this question this morning. I didn't preach on being saved. I mentioned it a couple times. I wonder if there's anybody in the room here this morning that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I have no idea if it's heaven or hell for me when I leave this world. Would you pray for me? I would love to pray for you if you just slip your hand in the air while I wait patiently and no one else is looking. I'd like to pray for you this morning on the bottom floor or upstairs, front to back, side to side, member or visitor. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Maybe you're here today, you've been saved but not baptized. I would invite you to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism this morning. Be obedient to Christ. Or just use the altar if God spoke to your heart. If you're a young person, and mom is at home and she's involved in your life and laying down the law and teaching and telling you this and that, don't forsake it. Live by it. Promise God you'll do that this morning. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing the song of invitation. You obey God this morning. You step out and be obedient to the Lord.